Good morning again, and thank you for being here. If you are a visitor, please know that you are an honored guest. We'd ask if you would please take the little white card out of the pew in front of you and give us a name and an address. We might have a record of your attendance. If you will take your Bibles, open up to Daniel chapter 1. We're going to be reading a few verses through Daniel today. Our conflict is with the world. I'm going to share a little secret again today. As Christians, we are at war. Do you believe me? As Christians today, we are at war, as were our forefathers. We read in 2 Timothy, as soon as I turn my little magic marker thing on here, chapter 2 and verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness," misfortune, literally, "as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." If Paul is talking to Timothy and telling him to be a good soldier, not to entangle himself with the cares of this world because they are at war with us, has anything changed? Has anything changed from the time that Paul wrote this to Timothy? Then we can read in 1 Timothy chapter 12, or chapter 6 and verse 12, "Fight the good fight of faith." What are we fighting against? We're fighting against the war that the world has waged on us. "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses." Now there's two ways to win a war. The first way is to literally destroy the enemy. Just totally wipe them out. The second way is to brainwash. Since the beginning of time, God's people have been at war with culture. From the beginning of time, ever since Adam and Eve was driven out of the garden, man has been at war with worldliness. So this morning, I'd like for us to examine a little bit how the world attempts to brainwash us. Do you believe that the world is brainwashing us? Daniel chapter 1, starting in verse 1. "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Aspenazes, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding, science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans." Basically, in other words, It became the aim of the Babylonians to re-educate these children of God, to teach them a new language and a new way of life. Now, there's absolutely nothing wrong with learning a different language. There's nothing wrong with that. But what they were trying to do, they were trying to change the way that these children lived. They were Hebrews. They were followers of God. And they wanted them to worship idols, to worship King Nebuchadnezzar. They immersed these Hebrew youth into paganism and the idolatrous culture. Now, is this not also the way the world operates today? Think about it. Is not the world today trying to educate us? Is it not how the children of God assimilated and become worldly? Think about this. If you do not think that the world is trying to educate us, all you have to do is look at the schools. Now, I'm not trying to pick on the teachers. I'm not trying to pick on the schools and the school boards. But do they not teach evolution? That we all come from monkeys? Do they not teach in their science classes that everything began by a Big Bang theory? And you know, and I think now, today, they've kind of done away with that theory. But for a long time, they was teaching that the universe began by nothing exploding. Do you not understand that these two things, that man evolved out of the primordial soup, something crawled up out of the water, and before billions of years passed, here we are. Or that nothing exploded and the universe began? Trying to re-educate us when we know that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. We know that God created man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And because it was not good for man to be alone, he caused the man to sleep and took a rib out and made not another man, but a woman, a wife. Literally, if you look that word up, it's wife. What about the, you know, I grew up listening to 60s and 70s music, okay? By the time the 80s come along, I kind of lost interest in the 80s music. There was really nothing in the music back then, although it was loud and anti-cultural and anti-society and anti-government. But you know, a lot of the music that came out of the 90s and the early 2000s and probably even still today, where they celebrate rape, murder, mayhem. Would you want Your children listening to music where the man is singing about raping a woman, or someone taking a gun and shooting and murdering. But you know what? There's something even worse than that. How many of you, I think I got my phone right here. How many of you can take your phone, and please don't. First of all, make sure they're muted or turned down. And you can play a game. Have you noticed some of the games that the kids play today? Rape, murder, robbery. Do you not think that the world is trying to re-educate us, to get us away from the Word of God, away from righteous living, to assimilate into their culture? Just as Daniel and his fellow Hebrews were trying to be re-educated. What about the immorality that's being celebrated today? If you don't think that's an issue, go on social media. Look at a lot of the TV programs, the sitcoms that's out today. Dorothy and I watch very little actual TV. We watch a lot of different videos. But when we do watch some of the programs on TV, there's commercials that come on that I wouldn't want my children to even watch the commercials. But they're propagating these videos, these shows, for people to watch. The immorality is being celebrated. What about tolerance? You know, we got to be tolerant, do we not? But they want us to be tolerant of same-sex marriage, homosexuality. They want us to be tolerant of sinful acts. Yes, we are at war with the world because the world is trying to re-educate us. What they're saying is that we need psychiatric help. We got problems in our brain. But then, excuse me, the world tries to dedicate us. Now, take your Bibles, turn to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, we're going to start reading in verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 300 cubits. And the breadth thereof 6 cubits, and he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king set together the princes and the governors and the captains and the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes and the governors and the captains and the judges and the treasurers and the counselors and the sheriffs and all the rulers of the province were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, He didn't want to leave anybody out, okay? That at the time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whosoever falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. Therefore, at the time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, and all the people, the nations and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Think of all of the things. Now, this is going to be very difficult, okay? Think of all of the things the world offers us. Think of all of the things that people enjoy. Now, I don't want nobody saying, John, you're really putting us in the corner here. Well, here's the problem. When we devote ourselves more to materialism, when we devote ourselves with the things that the world offers, entertainment, when we allow the world to offer us things and to encourage us, and then we forget about God, then the world's won. Think about all the materialism. Think about all the things that the world offers that draw us away from worship. Can you think of any material things that would keep you from coming to worship God? Well, maybe not so much on a Sunday morning, but what about Sunday night, Wednesday? Again, please don't misunderstand. I'm not talking about those who are physically unable to attend every service. But too many times we allow sports, we allow government, we allow the things of the world, things of society, the materialism things, to distract us. We allow things to draw us away. We cannot and we must not accept any substitute for God. Well, you know, I've been wanting to see this program on TV for a long time, and it's going to be on, and I just got to stay home and watch it. Ever heard of the DVR? You know, I remember back when I was a kid, every Sunday evening, if you remember, there were two things on that I wanted to always see. The Wonderful World of Walt Disney and the Mutual Omaha Wild Kingdom. But you know what happens sometimes? You know, Mom and Dad, they get to talking, and I'd be so upset because I missed one of them. Do we allow material things, and it could be anything, not simply TV, it could be anything that draws us away from God? In the case of King Nebuchadnezzar here, he put together this great statue, and he demanded that when Music started playing. Everybody had to bow down and worship that image. Well, you know what happened, don't you? Yeah. Wasn't it the three people that were thrown into the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Are we so wrapped up in material things, in sports, even in the government, that we allow them to draw us away? Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." That's where we should put our effort. Seeking the kingdom of God first. But now, you know, when the world tries to educate us and the world tries to dedicate us, and you know, when those things don't happen, when they don't cause us to leave God, when society and the world cannot draw us away, you know what they do next? Well, turn to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. We're going to start reading at verse 1. Daniel chapter 6, starting in verse 1. "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." I'm going to make him the top dog. "Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find none occasion nor fault, forasmuch as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, 'We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God.' Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto the king, 'King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom and governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute. Whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, the king Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying, making supplication before his God." Well, we all know what happened. If the world cannot draw us away, if the world cannot re-educate us, if the world cannot dedicate us and give us the materialism things that they believe that we will desire, then they're going to try to implicate us. We teach and we preach against homosexuality. Well, then we're labeled. If we don't believe in abortion, then we're labeled. If we don't believe in infanticide, then we're labeled. Here's the question. If we were charged with being a Christian, if we were charged with being a disciple of Jesus, would there be enough evidence to convict us? Think about that. If the government come through those doors right now and questioned each and every one of us, would there be enough evidence to convict us? Better yet, if they caught us out on the street, would there be enough evidence to convict us of being a Christian? Daniel knew the punishment, but yet he did not allow the decree to stop him from obeying God. Daniel knew what was happening. He understood that this was all about trying to trick him and trap him, but yet he did not stop doing what he'd done every day. Every day, three times a day, he would kneel down, face Jerusalem, and he would pray. Even though he knew that Darius, King Nebuchadnezzar, had made this decree that if you did not petition him first, you're going to be thrown into the lion's den. Well, we know what happened, don't we? Can the world ever cause us to suspend our devotion to God? Can the things of the world, can it cause us to suspend our devotion and our love for God and our brothers and sisters? Daniel overcome Babylon's attempt to assimilate and to destroy him because he had purposed in his heart. Daniel 1, verse 8. But Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Have we dedicated ourselves, have we dedicated our lives that we will not defile ourselves with what the world has to offer? Daniel overcame, and so can we. We can, by dedicating our lives solely to serving God and Jesus Christ. This morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, you have the opportunity today to be baptized and have your sins washed away and dedicate your life to serving God the rest of your life. Or you're already a child of God, perhaps seeing your life that you've not been living faithful, that maybe the world has drawn you away a little bit, and you wish the prayers of the saints. Would you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
There's a fountain.